Are you playing the market, or is the market playing you?
You done taken a wrong turn.
The Money Life Market Call helps you answer the question by discussing what's working in the investment world right now.
It's working. It's working. It's working.
It's real guidance about real investments from real experts.
I play at expert level.
You might find that next great investment you were looking for, or hear that it's time to sell something you expected to hold on to.
Let it go.
You'll learn how investment pros make decisions and what they see for the future.
See your future. Be your future.
You may be excited one moment and angry or frustrated the next.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
But that's just life in the market, as Chuck Jaffe talks stocks, mutual funds, and more.
I can live with that.
In the Daily Money Life Market Call.
You know, that music that leads in, that's the song It's a Perfect Day, or Perfect Day, from the Constellations. And it's pretty close to a perfect day when we're doing the market call and we get to talk with somebody like Martin LeClaire. He is our guest right now. He's Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Barrick Yard Advisors. If you are not familiar with the firm, well, their Twitter and their website, easy to remember, barrickyard.com, at Barrick Yard on Twitter. And you'll understand why I say it's like a perfect day when we have Marty on the show after you listen to this. Marty LeClaire, welcome back to Money Life.
Thanks, Chuck, and thanks for that. That's quite an introduction.
Well, I love getting a chance to chat with you because you take sort of a lot of things that investors are worried about. It's not a style that somebody's going to find particularly restrictive. There's a lot of areas that you can go to and a lot that you put under your purview, and then you kind of, you know, weed a bunch of stuff out to be able to say, here's what I like and here's what I don't like. Now, that said, with my take on your style, you have to actually tell my audience what goes into it, because they may not remember from the last time you were here. So explain what it is that goes into your buy sells and what it is that you look at to make those decisions.
Love to. Well, first of all, we're an investment firm, and we define an investment as being any asset that produces income for the potential benefit of the owner. So, for example, companies that are losing money, that's not an investment, that's a speculation. Companies that have no cash associated with it, for example, commodities, precious metals, things like that, they since they produce no cash, we view all those things as being speculations. So we just don't go there. So the investment process we define is looking at that potential cash flow from the asset, looking where it comes from, how likely it is that cash will be sustained. Also, how likely it is that cash could grow over time. And then we figure as the logical conclusion from that is that we are by definition long-term investors, because the only way you can benefit from the cash being generated from the asset is by holding on to it and reaping the benefits of that cash flow. Now, we're kind of two things. One is we are money managers. We buy individual securities on behalf of ourselves and our clients. But also, we are wealth managers, and that's kind of the tradition we came in. One thing that unites wealth management and money management is we focus on what we call predictive factors. And what predictive factors are time-tested actions and attributes which have shown to result, for the most part, in long-term success. For an example, outside the investment world, an example would be eating well and daily exercise will lead to a healthier life than if you eat only junk food and you stay on the couch all day. And then there are other things that you can do in your life. For example, be surrounded by people who love you and that you love, engaged in work that really, turns you on. All these sorts of things that we know lead to a healthy, long life. You pile those on and it increases the odds that you'll have a healthy, long, and happy life. Doesn't guarantee you won't be hit by a truck tomorrow and it will end, but it certainly puts you in the right direction. And that's the way we look at investing, that both as a money manager, there are predictive attributes which have proven to, if you're patient, paid off. And then also in our wealth management practice, when we're talking to individuals, there are obviously things there as well. For example, we know that if you are wholesaling, liquidating your stock portfolio after they've gone down 40% and everyone is telling you, you know, Armageddon is nigh, that that has a predictive attribute of leading to bad outcomes, then the alternative, which is to use optimistic happy times like now as an opportunity to sell securities, for example.
So we've got these optimistic happy times. How are you helping people shape expectations? I mean, what's a fair expectation of what the market's going to deliver using your system?
So here's the bottom line in terms of that. There's the CAPE ratio, and there are other ratios out there, cyclically adjusted PE ratio that Professor Schiller at Yale has put forth. And there are a ton of other metrics that we can look to. That's probably the most popular one. But stocks right now, over the next 10 years, are priced to deliver in aggregate a total return of something like 2 or 3% above inflation at best. And if the market keeps going higher, all that means is that from that point higher, you're probably going to then experience long-term negative returns for the stock market, which has happened before from 2000 to 2013, 2014, for example, that 13-14 year period that happened. So right now, as a group, now we buy individuals' companies, so that's different, but as a group, the stock market is poised to deliver not very good returns over the next 5 to 10 years.
With the market poised to deliver not very good returns, what are you telling people to buy right now?
Where we have made new commitments have been in sort of idiosyncratic areas and that meet our metrics. Like typically we want companies that are very profitable, that have insider skin in the game, that we believe have very modest debt levels, some good financials, and which we believe their business models won't be destroyed by innovation. So, for example, we're very wary of all those companies that could be destroyed by Amazon. So that would be an area. You know, we're not very enthused about very much right now, with the exception of possibly some small cap regional telephone companies for a lot of reasons that probably too long to get into right now.
Okay, but what's not too long to get into? A ticker symbol or two.
So in the regional phone companies, these are very small cap stocks. So NULM, NULM, which is a Minnesota rural carrier, that's one that we find very, very attractive. Another one I think you can buy if you're a long-term investor that we added to this year is a company that I've wanted to own for years and years, but was always too expensive, is McCormick, the spice company in Baltimore. You know, they make Old Bay seasoning and other types of spices. For some reason, they're able to blow away their competitors, and they grow consistently at 8 to 10% a year. And right now, basically, it's trading at 22 times earnings, which is not cheap. But, you know, in a bear market, maybe it will fall to maybe 18 or 19 times earnings. But historically, because it's a very, very profitable company, their return on invested capital is like 20% consistently, historically. And the stock fell recently because they made an acquisition that the market thinks they may be overpaid for it. And if your time horizon is 2 or 3 years, maybe they have. But McCormick's the kind of business that I think you can buy and not, you know, kind of forget about.
Yeah. Well, everybody needs spices. It's a business as old as time itself, practically. In terms of sell discipline, if this market's not going to give you much, is there any mandate for you to either increase your concentration or go more to cash? Or is it more, okay, look, I've got some things, they're still paying good dividends, I'm still getting reasonable yields, I may not like them as much, but I need to keep things rolling?
Well, there's all that, plus the fact that a lot of clients have to pay taxes if they sell something. So we're very mindful of that. Our portfolios are, you know, individually tailored in terms of, you know, the clients and objectives. So where we stand right now is really the cash part. So there are companies which that we own that became clearly way too expensive, and we decided to book our profits. So that's one thing. For example, Boeing. For years, we've sat there. I remember like a year and a half ago reading an article about how, you know, basically Boeing was screwed. And then now the stock has doubled in a year, right? So Boeing would be an example of, okay, we liquidated our Boeing position. However, there are companies we want to own long term, like, for example, Markel Corp, which is an insurance company down in Richmond. That's a company I think if you close your eyes and forget about and look at it in 10 years from now, I believe it's a good investment. However, you know, as they say, when they raid the house of ill repute, the police arrest everybody, including the piano player.
Right.
And a quality company like Markel will also decline in value. So we've lightened up a little bit. You know, we've taken, so right now we're the portfolio is about a 30% cash position.
Okay.
And if the market keeps going higher, we will trim more.
Now we're going to find out if you're trimming or buying more of some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Play, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
We've come to Hold It or Fold It with Martin LeClaire. He is portfolio manager and chief investment officer at Barrick Yard Advisors. If you want more information, barrickyard.com, on Twitter at Barrick Yard. You know how Hold It or Fold It works, so we're going to jump straight in because we're running just a little bit late with a request we got from Tony in Las Vegas. He wants to know about American States Water Company. That's AWR.
So in general, American States Water, and my preferred name, although I don't own it anymore, is Aqua America, WTR. These are great, predictable businesses. They're utilities, so you have the built-in safety valve that utilities represent. Amazon is not going to, no matter how powerful they get, Facebook, how powerful they get, people are still going to need to drink water. And these are utilities, and I won't get into why, but they're probably built in to be able to grow 7 to 8%, maybe 10% a year over the long term. So in a very, very predictable fashion. Two things. One is they're interest rate sensitive. And then secondly, what I just described is not unknown to the market. So American Water, for example, is trading at around 30 times earnings. Historically, 20 times earnings is a good price to pay for it. So it's overvalued. So I would say if you own it and you want to trim, great. If you want to own it, wait. And at some point in the next few years, if it drops down to 20 times earnings, then I would go in.
So it's a hold and maybe a trim on American States Water Company, AWR.
No money changes hands today.
And in there, if you wanted to make a splash, well, Marty did say he prefers WTR a little bit more. There, how's that? How often do I get to play a splash sounder? Next up for Rick.
Too.
Yeah, next up for Rick in York, Pennsylvania. It's National CineMedia. That's NCMI.
Well, this one's clearly a sell. I mean, it's highly speculative. It pays a high dividend, and the dividend's unsustainable. They've been burning cash to pay the dividend. So basically, they've been diluting the equity base. They have a negative net worth. The book value is like negative $7 a share or something like that. And so, you know, you could say, well, maybe it's a cyclical thing and all that kind of stuff. But also, you know, like my kids don't go to the cinema. When I was a teenager, you know, I thought going to cinema was great, something you do. My kids will only go maybe once or twice a year. Like, so I would say it's definitely a sell.
Put that one on the psycho list.
There you go. Get rid of National CineMedia, NCMI. Mike in Redwood City, California, wants to know about the Howard Hughes Corporation, HHC.
Well, Howard Hughes Corporation is they're probably the best in the world at creating communities, real estate communities. You know, they own a big chunk of Columbia, Maryland, which is one of the famous ones. They own the one north of Houston. They own Summerlin just outside of Las Vegas, and there's another one in Hawaii, the Woodlands outside of Houston. So, as a long-term, and there's some really smart money behind this. Horizon Asset Management, they're great people, and also Pershing Square owns a big chunk. This is a long-term view. I mean, real estate is not a trade. Real estate like this is a long-term investment, and I think it's at a reasonable price. So if you have a long-term view, like 7 to 10 years, I think it's a good buy, but the underlying asset is not going to be a trade.
I'd say buy if the long-term.
As we just played, I'm in this for the long haul, a long-term buy on the Howard Hughes Corporation, HHC. Craig in Belleville, Texas, Sam in Holmes Beach, Florida, both want to know about AT&T. That's ticker symbol T.
I own AT&T personally, and my clients do. I'm not particularly excited to own it, except that as I mentioned, we're about 30% cash in the portfolios, and AT&T to me kind of represents a surrogate bond. I know it's not a bond and all that kind of stuff, but it pays a 5% dividend. Their return on capital investment is around 9%. So given their dividend payout ratio, that means that they could probably grow their dividend by 4 or 5% a year. You know, so that implies maybe the stock can grow 4 or 5% a year. And the attractive thing about AT&T is that in an overvalued market, and this market is much more overvalued than the numbers would suggest, it's a very reasonably priced, stable company. And so I guess it's a buy.
I thought it was going to be a hold because of all the money you're making, but it's a buy on AT&T.
And look at all the money I'm making.
Yeah, which is ticker symbol T. And last, for Rich in Orchard Beach, Maryland, it's Liberty Global PLC. The Class A shares trade under LBTYA.
So this is a company where if you pull up a value line, which I do, and look at other financials, and it's maybe something that you'd say, how could I say what I said earlier and not say run away from this thing? But the thing is that this is an amalgamation of some telecommunications and media assets. The big key is the jockey here. This is a John Malone company. John Malone is one of the greatest value creators in the history of the universe. So if you want to own it at this price, I see no problem with that.
An interesting decision, because I was thinking you might go the other way, but that was a buy on Liberty Global, ticker symbol LBTYA.
Bye, bye, bye. Is that all you can think about?
All I can think about right now is goodbyes, because I have to say ours, to Marty LeClaire. But, Marty, it's always great to have you on the show. I look forward to doing this with you again in the not-too-distant future.
Me too, Chuck. Thank you.
Martin LeClaire, everybody. He is the Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Barrick Yard Advisors. BarrickYard.com is the website, at Barrick Yard on Twitter. Okay, we are just about done with the September 27th edition of Money Life, but we'll cross the finish line together, let you know where Marty agreed or disagreed with some other recent guests, set you up for the rest of the week in terms of what's coming right after this message.